All right, guys, welcome back. Here we are to do our very first card for Bellator. We've actually never done a preview for Bellator on our video format. So here we are previewing Bellator 243. As some of you may know, last week I was involved in the 2 weeks ago, I was involved in the virtual post-fight press conference for Bellator. I will be involved in tomorrow night's virtual press conference as well. We'll be asking all the winners questions. The very first fight of the night is interesting. A lot of guys that we may not know about, but let me tell you what, if you are an MMA fan and you do not know these two men on the marquee, you have been asleep for a long time. Michael Chandler is arguably one of the best. I'm not even going to say arguably. He is the best lightweight to never step foot in the UFC, period. And Benson Henderson is a former UFC lightweight champion, obviously beating the likes of Nate Diaz in very dominant fashion. Even when he won the belt against Frankie Edgar had been on a tear at that point, and nobody was stopping him in the 155-pound division. These two have already met once in Bellator. It was an instant classic, and I expect nothing but the same for this fight.
Interesting match, fight card. Bottom from listen, the main card is actually crazy. I feel like the main event and the co-main event.
The co-main event, we had Tim Johnson here last week. We've had him on a couple of times. Can't wait to see him do his work against Mitrione. The fight before that is very interesting. The fight before that is phenomenal. There is just a great fight top to bottom. Let's start at the very first fight of the night. Like I said, you might not know a lot of these gentlemen. Dalton Rosta is 2-0 against Mark Gardner, who is 1-1. Like I said, we might not know a lot about these gentlemen, but it makes for very exciting fights, let me tell you what, because these two are going to go in there and put it all on the line. Nyano Dung, 3-1 versus Charlie Campbell, 1-1 in the lightweight division. Again, very young fighters going in there to do the damn thing. Jeff Neal's little brother, Grant Neal, I'm just making that part up, I don't really know if they're brothers, is facing Hamza Salim. Now, these guys got a little more experience in the light heavyweight division. Grant Neal is 3-0. Hamza is 5-2. Obviously, Grant Neal, the undefeated fighter here, going up against a more veteran-savvy guy who's had 7 fights. It'll be an interesting step of competition for Grant and see if he's ready for it.
Yeah, interesting matchup. But listen, for me, in this prelims card, it's all about AJ. Listen, that's all I want to talk about. It's more for me. I'm a huge fan of AJ.
Yes, and we will get to AJ in about 2 seconds. Give me a second, okay? Let me get there, because this next young lady definitely deserves her accolades. Velia Loredo is not only just beautiful, she is a phenomenal fighter. She has a hugely decorated karate experience. She's 2-0. She's been able to just dominate her two opponents. Here we go against Tara Gaff. I'm excited for this matchup. It was just added last minute to this card, and we'll see if she's able to do what everyone expects her to do against Tara Gaff. I really have high hopes for this Valerie Laredo. The flyweight division is phenomenal in the Bellator. Obviously, their champion, Illuminae McFarlane, in my opinion, is the second best flyweight in the world. And I think the gap between her and the best is still pretty damn big.
Valerie can have the potential to be one of those future big stars of Bellator, because she has the record, she has everything. She's a
total package.
Exactly.
She's got the look, she's got the ability, and she's able to sell.
Yeah, so this is what you need.
Now let's talk about it, okay? Let's talk about your man. The second most hated man in MMA behind Dylan Danis, AJ Agazim, the phenomenal featherweight who has been in Bellator for his entire career. I've been able to see AJ fight in person. I've been able to sit down and talk to AJ. Very humble young man. I had nothing but good and positive vibes, and I enjoyed our interaction that him and I had together. He is 3-1 facing Chris Lenciani, is 6-2. Now, Chris and AJ apparently had a secret underground submission fight, submission underground through Chael Sonnen, and apparently AJ lost to Chris. This is what the rumor has it, and Chris says he's got proof. AJ lost that fight and threatened to sue Chael Sonnen if he ever put it out there. I don't know about how this whole thing worked out. I've heard that since this whole thing, AJ has even offered to go down to where is it, Portland, where Chris trains. And he said he will drive up to Portland and they could roll in a gi. You could figure it out. And they, Bellator said, you know what? Why don't we just figure this out in the cage?
Yeah, exactly. That's where they should be. Actually, they have the platform to do it. And we the fans, will enjoy this fight. Yes. Listen, they're both Bellator
fighters. Blood.
Yeah, I love it. That's all we need. Yeah, I love it. I feel like AJ Jiu-Jitsu is amazing, fighting out of Nick Diaz Academy. And I would be surprised if he got submitted. This is something normal. I feel like everyone can be submitted, but AJ is very high level. So he's a high level
grappler that people don't even understand that his wrestling, he's an All-American wrestler plus a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
So if Chris actually submitted him, if it's actually true, that means that Chris is actually really also very, very good when it comes to the ground game. So pretty excited. Of course, I will root for my guy, AJ. Listen, for me, AJ is a potential superstar. I feel like he had the fan base, the Instagram account certified. He had everything before even becoming an MMA fighter. So that tells you
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, and he brought a lot of fans with him.
And he lost his first fight. Listen, he lost his first fight, so he doesn't have that pressure of keeping his MMA record be undefeated. So I believe that AJ, for him, sky is the limit. And he's working on his striking.
Yeah, he's looked really good. He's obviously with the right people, with Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz. They're obviously going to put him in the right direction when it comes to striking. Those guys are phenomenal strikers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, here we go. In the prelims, Adam Borish was originally scheduled to fight Derek Campos. Both of those two gentlemen were in the Bellator's $1 million featherweight tournament. Campos, obviously, for undisclosed reasons, was able to back out in time for them to find a replacement and keep Borish on the card. His replacement is Mike Hamill, 7-3. Adam Borish, so let me tell you what, this dude is a beast. Okay, I definitely wouldn't want to go in there and have to fight this guy, not on a couple days' notice, not on 15 days' notice, not on 3 months' notice. It is literally outside of Darian Caldwell. I haven't seen anybody even make this kid look normal.
This is a very, very tough matchup. And listen, I may not know a lot about these fighters because Bellator sometimes, you have fighters that you don't know. I actually don't know a lot about, but hearing from you, listening to you saying how good they are, you know what? I believe you, brother.
Yeah, Adam Borish trains out of Hard Knocks 365. He, obviously, like we talked about Michael Chandler, phenomenal training partners every single day. He's utilized that since coming over from Hungary, and he's just looked phenomenal, man. I was there when he lost to Caldwell, and Caldwell just really showed that he was a more experienced fighter. I don't know if, you can technically say Caldwell was the better fighter, but you could tell that he was a more athletic fighter that night. At the end of the day, though, I think Borish might have a better career than Caldwell. I think Adam Borish, still being very young in this 145-pound division, has a bright future in Bellator or in the UFC, whichever he decides to go with.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup, and this is the main event for the prelims, right?
Yes, very good fight. The Derek Campos versus Adam Borish fight was supposed to be amazing. That would have been a great fight. Derek Campos fought in the UFC. He's fought against all kinds of people in Bellator. He looked really good against AJ McKee. Unfortunately, that fell through. I'm glad they were able to keep Adam on the card. Thank you for Mike for stepping up, man. You got a big road to climb, though, buddy.
Exactly. So now we go to the main card.
Main card, two former UFC guys. It seems like we have former UFC guys all over this card. The second matchup of the main card of the two former UFC guys. Sabah Hamazi obviously has looked phenomenal since joining Bellator. Curtis Millender won his very first fight in Los Angeles on the Cyborg card. I was surprised when the UFC got rid of Millender, and to see what he's been able to do in his first fight in Bellator, if he's able to capitalize on this fight and look really good against Sabah Hamazi, we could very easily see Curtis Millender challenging Douglas Lima one day for that welterweight title.
That's a possibility. Listen, the winner of the great thing about Bellator is that if you win, like if you come from the UFC and actually sign with Bellator, they already give you like top contender fights. And you just need like with two wins, you can ultimately fight for the belt.
Look at Sergio Pettis. He beat Ricky Bendaas in his last fight. Now he's guaranteed a title shot once Patchy Nix and then Juan Archuleta figure out who's the bantamweight champion.
So it's good. The great thing about MMA right now is to have those opportunities, you know?
Yeah, I honestly don't see this fight hitting the ground. I see this fight being an all-out, drag-out, stand-up war. And yeah. I would be surprised if Ramosi doesn't pull it out. That dude's got heavy hands. You've seen what he was able to do against Harak Hussein.
Yeah.
Now, he looked phenomenal. He obviously lost that fight, but... has looked very good since then. I feel like Sabaz Hamasi really could win this fight and take all that thunder that Curtis Millender has. He was the bigger name Curtis Millender was coming away from the UFC. Hamasi, yeah. You know, he was on the Ultimate Fighter. He was the Black Zillionaires American Top Team season. He was there because he was part of American Top Team. He, you know, didn't look bad in the UFC. He had very good showings. He just never capitalized on his potential. In Bellator, I feel like it might be a better home for him. Like you said, though, one or two wins, either one of these gentlemen are right there in the front line for that welterweight title shot.
100%.
Especially with Rory out of the way now. I mean, it makes it easy, right?
Yeah, exactly. You listen, and especially with those times, with all this coronavirus bullshit going on, when you see an opportunity, just jump in, brother.
Exactly. Another former UFC guy right here, Miles Jury, taking on Georgi Karakunian. I've seen Georgi fight. Unfortunately, he was on the bad end of an AJ McKee history-stopping fight, the fastest knockout in Bellator history. Georgi, though, definitely has way, way more experience than Miles Jury. He is a former featherweight fighter, so he isn't the bigger fighter in this fight. You know Miles Jury and his size is going to be a disadvantage for Georgi in this fight. I feel like if Miles is able to keep his distance and use that long reach that he had, it's going to be a long night for Georgi.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like he is the bigger man in this fight. But listen, we saw it many, many times. We saw that maybe sometimes the short man will take the advantage to take the other fighters to the ground, you know?
I could see that. I just feel like why would you take Miles Jury on the ground when he's so good off his back?
I agree with you.
I feel like it's almost a double-edged sword. You either got to deal with his length or you got to deal with his jiu-jitsu off his back. And I don't know if Georgi Karakunian has enough in a bag of tricks to be able to make that work.
Yeah, it's all about, I agree with you. I feel like it's all about that reach advantage. And I feel like Marius Jury, if he keeps the distance, he can make it an easy fight where he doesn't even have to go to the ground.
For sure. In the co-main event, two former UFC heavyweights, Matt Mitrione versus Timothy Johnson. Like we said, we had Tim Johnson on last week. We discussed everything about this fight. I'm excited for this fight, man. Tim mentioned it on the show, and he's not saying that Bellator is mentioning this. It's just his thought. He thinks that the current Bellator heavyweight champion, Ryan Bader, will be relinquishing his title to focus on the light heavyweight division. Now, if that comes to grips, like you said, you know, it only takes one or two fights to win. Tim Johnson here with a win against Matt Mitrione, a win against Fortune. He could be one win away from a title shot. Matt Mitrione also with a win over Johnson here with what Johnson was able to do in his last fight could catapult Matt Mitrione to being possibly next in line for that Bellator heavyweight title.
And you need a good win. You need a win with a good fashion knockout.
You got to finish the fight.
Yeah. You got to finish the fight. And I feel
like heavy-handed guys. I don't see that. I mean, you've seen what Tim Johnson was able to do against Fortune in his last fight. Yeah. Tim Johnson, like he said before, I mean, these guys in Bellator don't have anything compared to what he deals with on a daily basis with Francis Ngannou. That's his training partner. So if he's taking strikes from Francis Ngannou, what is Matt Mitrione going to show him?
Matt Mitrione is much older in this fight. I feel like he's 42. I didn't see how, like, time flies very quickly. For me, Matt Mitrione in my head is still pretty young because I remember him being actually pretty young. And you know what? He's 42 right now. Crazy. And listen, Tim Jones, 35. I feel like Tim Jones is still, I feel like he's maybe more relevant than Mats Mitrione right now. So if I go
in the heavyweight division, your prime is definitely still a little later than it would be in other divisions.
I agree with you, but 42, come on. Mats Mitrione had a lot of fights, had a lot of wars. So I feel like maybe I would go for this fight. If I do prediction, I would go with Tim Johnson.
And Tim Johnson even pointed out, too, he's had teammates that have faced Mats Mitrione. Yeah. One guy, Big Country Roy Nelson, had a lot of success against Mitrione.
Yeah, very a lot. So
I have to agree with you. I think Tim Johnson is going to be able to pull this victory out. And I think with a win over like somebody like a Czech Congo, he could be right back in there for a title shot.
If they give him back Czech Congo, because if I'm not wrong,
he lost to Czech Congo.
He lost to him. So
yes, yeah, but that's who he wants next. Tim Johnson has said he would love to fight Czech Congo one more time. He felt like he wasn't ready for that opportunity, and it was a situation where he went in with the wrong game plan, and he feels like if he has a different game plan and doesn't try to just shoot in for a shitty single, that he could really take advantage of Czech Congo and win that fight.
I'm not against a rematch. I feel like it will be good. So yeah, sure, why not?
I'm down. Let me tell you what I am definitely down for, sir. It is this main event, 5-round lightweight main event against Michael Chandler, Benson Henderson. It is 5 rounds, right? If this is not 5 rounds, this is a travesty. Let me tell you what. These two gentlemen, listen, the first fight was amazing. Michael Chandler won the first 3 rounds, in my opinion. Benson Henderson looked great in the 4th and 5th round. It was a instant classic fight of the year. Beautiful fight. I mean, if these two guys want to fight 5 times out of 5, I'm down. I will watch these guys fight like Lando and Bobby Green. Okay, just a phenomenal matchup. Michael Chandler hit Benson Henderson in that first fight with some heavy shots, heavy shots. He had a rat up in his guillotine. Let's go, hits him with a big right hand. I mean, just scary power that Benson Henderson was able to just take. Benson Henderson has a phenomenal chin on him. You've seen it in multiple times. He's never really had that huge knockout against him. He's always been able to deal with adversity and keep pushing through.
Yeah, and listen, for people, just a reminder, Benson Henderson, like his last two fights in the UFC, are actually wins. He didn't leave the UFC because he had he got kicked out from the UFC because he had a losing streak.
Yeah, he got paid more money from Bellator.
That's it. He was still in his prime when he left the UFC. He could have had maybe a rematch or some sort for a title fight if he stayed a little bit longer. But he came to Bellator, and listen, he fought against Michael Chandler in, like you said, one of the best, maybe lightweight fights in MMA. So
definitely one of the best fights in Bellator history.
So it tells you how much, like, for me, Michael Chandler, like you said in the beginning, is maybe the greatest lightweight who never fought in the UFC. For me, it's almost crazy how he never fought for the UFC.
And Patrice Pitbull, I mean, those two are going to be 1 and 1B.
If you want to see a hardworking video, guys, you go to the Instagram of Michael Chandler and you will see him grapple with the likes of Kamaru Usman. Will see him. All he do is daily wrestling with those top guys and hard work.
The guy, you know, skilled. With Henry Hoof in your corner, your kickboxing is subpar. I mean, obviously he kickboxed with Vicente Luque. You see what Vicente Luque was able to do against Randy Brown. Just imagine what those guys do. Iron sharpens iron. Landon Quinones is also in that same room. You have young guys in there just as well as veterans, just straight killers at Hard Knocks 365 Stanford MMA. I'm excited to see this fight. How do you see this phenomenal, highly anticipated rematch going down?
Well, personally, I freaking love Michael Chandler. For me, I enjoy watching each and every fight of him in Bellator. He's actually one of the reasons why I actually watched some Bellator card, and then I was like, oh shit, Bellator is really good, and I kept on watching those cards. But listen, I will go with Michael Chandler because I feel like he's the younger fighter, and I feel like maybe he's the hungrier fighter. That's what I think.
100%, I have to agree with you. Michael Chandler is a stud. I really feel like he's got the perfect balance of striking and wrestling. He knows, obviously, that he's one of the best wrestlers in MMA, but he doesn't just leave it at that. He doesn't just lay and prey on guys. Like I said earlier, he would disengage from Benson, hit him with some big shots, re-engage. I mean, he does it so well that it's effortlessly, and you can tell he puts everything into it. At the end of the fifth round, he was dead tired, but that's because at the entire fight, he was doing nothing but going. Benson Henderson, though, is just so smooth and he transitioned so well. It just makes these two such an amazing chemistry in the cage. And I can't wait to see the second fight. I have Chandler winning it again by decision, but I can't wait for another great, hopefully, five rounds of these two.
Yeah, I really feel that this fight may be like the best fight of this week. It may be even bigger than the card that we'll have this weekend.
Give me two fights to watch.
You know who I will go to. You know what's my fight. You know that I will go with AJ. You know that I will go with AJ. Listen, for me, is one of the most talented grappler jiu-jitsu guy in MMA right now, and I really hope to see more of him. So, and this drama between him and Chris is pretty interesting. I feel like it's add a little bit more to this fight. So, pretty excited about that. And I will go with the main event because, dude, Michael Chandler is a beast, and Benson Henderson is also a beast. So, very excited about this main event.
I'm going to give you guys three exciting matchups. Adam Borish versus Matt Hamill, I feel like, is a very telling fight of the type of talent that we have in Adam Borish in front of us. He's normally 145 pounder, making the adjustment because Mike came in the last minute. This kid is dangerous. He could really, really put it on a lot of 145ers in the UFC. He's done it so far in Bellator. I think the sky's the limit, especially if he wants to stay in Bellator. Sabar Hamasi versus Curtis Millender could be the fight of the night if it wasn't on the same night as Henderson and Chandler. These two going at each other is going to be a phenomenal fight. I don't see the judges playing too much of a factor in this one, and I feel like Sabaz's heavy hand, it might be the difference maker in this one. Co-main event. I cannot talk more about my fellow Vikings fan, Tim Johnson. That's my boy right there. We've interviewed him multiple times on this show. Against Meathead, Matt Mitrione, man, I've been watching this guy forever in the UFC doing his damn thing. I love watching these two throw down. I'm excited about the pairing. There's a great matchup, great card. I'm excited about Bellator 243, man.
Very excited, this card. And I cannot be
everyone
happier.
Everyone made weight. So that's even better.
Very happy to have this card with Michael Chandler actually being the main event to be the first card that we actually preview.
Yes.
From Bellator.
Yeah, I think it's definitely fitting.
Yeah.
Now, also, like I said, guys, if you are interested in the post fights, I'm going to record them this time. I didn't record them last time. I should have just took a screenshot of it, but I'm going to do it this time. Hopefully it all works out. Yeah. And I'll get them posted on our show's site. But if not, you can check them out on Bellator's site or even other media outlets. I know MMA Junkie did it. My MMA News was in there with us. So a lot of people, we're trying to make moves and just be there where we can. And Bellator gives us that opportunity to showcase what we're able to do. And we're very thankful for that.
Very thankful. And it's very exciting end of the week, I would say, when it comes to MMA.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, and also, like I didn't mention to you guys yet, but Vicente Luque has been hitting me up all afternoon. Him and I are going to be doing an interview next week, man. I can't wait. Vicente coming to town. Tell us all about what's been going on. We haven't talked to him in a while since before his Nico Price fight. So it'll be a good thing to catch up with Vicente. And I can't wait to show it all with you guys.
Yeah, pretty excited.
All right, guys. Well, you filthy animals need to stay good and can't wait till next time.
Peace.